ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. ஹரிஹி ஓம். விவேக சூடாமணி ஸ்லோகா 147. நாஸ்திரைர்ன சஸ்திரைரனிலேன வன்னினா சேத்தும் ந சக்கேன ச கர்ம கோடிபிஹி விவேக விஜான மகாசினா வினா தாது பிரசாதேன சிதேன மஞ்சுனா. சோ நவ் வித் த ப்ரீவியஸ் ஸ்லோகா தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் பாண்டேஜ் இஸ் கிளியர் தட் இட் இஸ் இக்னரன்ஸ் பாண்ட் எரர் தட் இஸ் செல்ஃப் இக்னரன்ஸ் பாண்ட் செல்ஃப் எரர். இக்னரன்ஸ் ஆல்சோ இஸ் அபவுட் மை செல்ஃப். The error also is about myself. And once ignorance is at the root, we have got only one solution, namely knowledge. That is the only thing that can remove ignorance. And this we have discussed in the introduction itself of Viveka Chudamani. And many ideas, they seem to be repeated many times in Viveka Chudamani. And that is the reason some people say that they take Viveka Chudamani as only a compilation of many stray shlokas, verses written by many acharyas and are all edited. So many ideas are repeated. So in the beginning from shloka 4 or 5, for about 6 or 7 shlokas, this was the topic at that time also. Jnanam alone gives liberation. He talks about the same topic here also. And then why it should be repeated? Because in spite of repetition, confusion continues. If not, it would be worse. So he chooses to hammer in the head again and again. He says, this bondage cannot be removed by any number of weapons. Astraihi chetum na shakyaha. This is a unique bondage which cannot be cut by astram. Astram means missile. Na shastraihi. Shastram means any weapon other than a missile held in the hand. Like for example, a sword, a gada, all those things, they are all shastraihi. But when an arrow is used as a weapon, since it is released from the hand, it is called an astram. Asyate iti. So it is released, it is shot. So, na shastraihi. Here we have to be careful. It is not like not shastraihi, but sastraihi. Because in some books, they put it as sastraihi. And they also say, in sastram also cannot. But that is what we have to be very careful. Because that can destroy, shastram alone can destroy ignorance. And if you ask who said so, the Upanishad says, all the time. Vedanta vijnana sunischitartha. Taittiriya Upanishad. So it is very clear that scriptures alone are capable of destroying bondage. That means what? When it is understood correctly. Not by keeping the scriptures in the bookshelf, but when it is understood correctly, then it can destroy bondage. Actually, in Tarka Shastra, they are very, very particular about the language. If someone says that medicine will remove disease, the Tarkikas, they won't accept it. They will say consumed medicine alone will remove. And they will define further and further. This is called Lakshana Parishkara. So, in Tarka, they have got names, various things for that. So, here it is Shastraihi and not Sastraihi. Weapons do not destroy bondage. And Anilena, the wind, that also, it cannot dry up bondage. It cannot destroy. And Vannina, fire cannot destroy. What about pujas and all that? Karma koti bihi. Even crores of karma. Ordinary karma, extraordinary karmas, all of them. In this, all the upasana meditations are also included because they are also karma only. They are mental activities. So all of them, chetum na shakyaha. Chetum means to destroy. Na shakyaha, not possible to destroy by any of these things. And again, we should be careful. When Shankaracharya says that karma and upasana will not destroy bondage, we cannot say that they are useless. The worst corollary one can derive is that only. He only says karma cannot remove bondage or ignorance. For example, when we say eating cannot give college degree, I cannot say I won't eat at all, now on. I cannot do that. That only means what? Eating cannot give me a degree. One has to study. Eating will give me something else, which is also very important, like study. So we should never conclude that karma and upasana are useless by listening to these statements. They are extremely important for what? For chitta shuddhi. Chittasya shuddhaye karma. We have already seen that. And after getting chitta shuddhi, purity of mind, don't hang on to karma anymore. That is the meaning actually we should take. Then what should I do? Go to the appropriate means for getting self-knowledge. That is said in the third and the fourth line, using a very powerful weapon. That's what the Acharya says here. Viveka vijnana mahasina vina. Except by the great sword of self-knowledge. Mahasina, self-knowledge alone can destroy bondage. Asi, asi means sword. And mahasi means huge or powerful sword. Why it is called so? Because it has to destroy what? The huge samsara vriksha, ashvattam, ashvattam prahuravyayam. So the word sword also must be powerful. And what kind of sword it is? Vijnanam. Vijnanam is self-knowledge. And what type of self-knowledge? In fact, we should not say, I should get self-knowledge. Because everyone says, I have got self-knowledge. I know who I am. People normally say, if you ask who I am, they all say, I know who I am. I am so-and-so. Therefore, viveka vijnana, discriminative knowledge. It is not just only vijnana, viveka vijnana, discriminative knowledge, the knowledge of the self separated from the non-self. Non-self includes the body and mind. So that is the knowledge of self, the knowledge of self as distinct from the body and mind. That is discrimination of atma and anatma. And what type of knowledge it is? He uses three adjectives in this shloka. Manjuna. Manju, that which is pure, that which is sacred, that which is glorious. With the glorious self-knowledge, because it deals with what? Deals with the glorious Atma. Because it deals with glorious Atma, the self-knowledge also is glorious. Krishna uses the word Rajavidya Rajaguhya. That is what he used, 9th chapter. The most essential, the shining knowledge. Literally, Manju means beautiful. And the glory of that sword is talked about in the fourth line here. And that is the second adjective also is used here, Sitena. Sitena means which is sharp. The sword, it's not a blunt sword, it's a sharp sword. Because that can be also, should be also interpreted properly here. In the case of the sword, sharpness means what? It should be sharp enough to cut the shackle. A blunt sword cannot cut anything. In case of self-knowledge, what is sharpness? Sharp knowledge means a clear, distinct knowledge. A sharp intellect. There is no vagueness or doubt at all. And how do you know that the knowledge is clear? Any type of doubt, I must be able to answer and correct them. That is why we have a process. Mananam is a process in Vedanta in which exclusively I allow my intellect to put all types of questions. Every question should be answered because Vedanta is not a matter of belief but a matter of understanding. So during Shravanam, for the sake of continuity, I don't ask questions in between. That is why even in our classes also, we reserve the questions to the end so that the continuity could be maintained. By the time we reach the end, some of our own doubts might have got clarified during another instance in the same lecture. Any question and every question, including the most fundamental question, why should I accept the scriptures? That's the most fundamental question because we are starting with that faith. Why should I at all understand and accept the scriptures? One can start right from there. Some people may get the doubt even after 20 years of learning Vedanta. So every idea can be questioned. And we have books and books and books which answer every blessed question. Not only from lay people also these questions, but from great scholars, great philosophers also. Buddhists who never accept Vedanta as a means of knowledge. We have tackled Buddhism. We have tackled Jainism. Shankaracharya did all these because it is knowledge. They are all thinkers. So we will be able to address them with knowledge. So, Shad Nastika Darshanani and Pancha Astika Darshanani. There are six Nastika Darshana, six systems of philosophy which are purely rationalistic ones. They don't accept Vedas at all. And five systems of philosophy who accept Veda. We can include modern science also in that category. Let anybody ask any question, I should be able to answer. And when we go to advanced Vedantic books, not only we can answer these questions, we have got answers depending on the level of the student also. For example, why did creation come? We will answer depending on who is the student who is asking the question. Swami Chinmayananda, he jokingly used to say, answer such questions. When the student is a little bit, you know, that is a cantankerous student whose intention is not learning but cornering the teacher. Then he will give the answer, the one who has done the mischief, go and ask that person. He used to give this as answer. Then he will add out of compassion, when you meet that person, he will also answer that way. So that means Ishwara is the one who created. So the question will not be solved, but the question will dissolve. The person will not ask that question again. Therefore, that is one answer. So we have got then layer and layer of answers depending on who the student is. The ultimate answer being what? The ultimate answer being the Mandukya Upanishad giving the answer, in which we say there is no creation. When there is no creation, that is the question of answering your question. That is what he will answer. Because there is no creation at all in Vedanta, there is only transformation from unmanifest to manifest, to manifest to unmanifest, again and again and again. So, thus for every question, we have many answers. And when I am convinced, it is called what? It is called clear knowledge. So, hasta amalakavati. So, like an amalaka fruit in the hand. So, clear. That is why he says here, sitena. Sitena means clear. Samshaya rahita jnanena. Jnanam, knowledge, without any samshayas, without any doubts. And how does one get that knowledge? Dhatu prasadena. To get that clarity, we require the grace of the Lord. Dhata means Ishwaraha. Prasadaha means anugraha, kripa. So by Ishwara kripa. So dhatu prasadena, which is a blessing or gift from the Lord. So the bondage can be cut only by discriminative knowledge, which is beautiful knowledge, clear knowledge, and which is the gift of the Lord. Shloka 148. Shruti pramanaikamate swadharma nishtatayaivatma vishuddhirasya vishuddha buddhe paramatma vedanam tenaiva samsara samulanashaha. It's a very beautiful and a very important verse which comprehensively presents the entire gamut of spiritual sadhana, a complete verse. Shankaracharya presents this because the previous shloka can confuse a person. Because we said, jnanam alone gives freedom from bondage, and one might conclude that jnana yoga alone is enough. And karma yoga is not necessary, is not enough. So we want to say that jnana yoga is impossible without karma yoga, and karma yoga will be incomplete without jnana yoga. This has to be understood very clearly. We have mentioned this earlier also. So jnana yoga is impossible without karma yoga, and karma yoga will be incomplete without jnana yoga. So if you understand this, 99% of confusion in spirituality will go away. That is, everyone has to go through karma yoga and jnana yoga. That is why we have four ashramas, brahmacharya ashrama and grahastha ashrama, taking care of the pravritti marga, Karmayoga. And Vanaprastha Ashrama and Sannyasa Ashrama taking care of Jnana Yoga. Brahmacharya Ashrama is preparation for Karma Yoga in Grahastha Ashrama. And Vanaprastha Ashrama is preparation for Jnana Yoga in Sannyasa Ashrama. So whether one goes through all the four ashramas or not literally, one should be mentally able to go through all the four. And unless one gets a sannyasi mind, a detached mind, self-knowledge is impossible. Without a sannyasi mind, which we call as vairagyam or detachment. Therefore, the steps are what? Karma yoga, preparation, jnana yoga, leading to moksha. So this is what is presented in this shloka. As I told, it's a complete shloka. So what is the first stage? Shruti pramanaika matihi. First one should understand that the Veda alone is our guide in our spiritual journey. That is the first thing to be understood. This must be very clear. Veda, scriptures alone going to be our guide. All the material sciences, they can be useful for what? For material purposes. But once it comes to spirituality or ananda, spirituality means ananda actually. Relative ananda or temporary ananda is possible only through dharma. Absolute ananda is possible only through jnana. If we consider money and possessions are sources of ananda, all the moneyed people must be happiest people. In fact, the very same money which they considered as a source of ananda once becomes a bug. Putradapi dhanabhajam bhitihi. That's what Acharya said. Shankaracharya says, many old people are worried because our children are going to fight because I have money. Who should get what share? That's the problem. So money, possessions, family are all not sources of permanent ananda. There are only two sources of happiness. Namely what? Dharma for apekshika sukham or relative sukham and jnanam for atyantika sukham. Permanent sukham, eternal sukham. Dharma alone one gets from Veda. Dharma also one gets only from Veda. And jnana also, because dharma also is apaurushaya vishaya. Punyam, papam, they are all apaurushaya vishaya. We cannot understand. Scriptures say you will get punyam. Scriptures say you will get papam. Who has seen it? So all those things are apaurushaya vishaya. Jnanam also we get through from the scriptures only. So Veda Purva Bhaga, that deals with the apekshika ananda, the karmakanda portion deals with the relative ananda through dharma, and Veda Anta Bhaga, Vedanta, that deals with atyantika ananda through jnana. So through only scriptures there is spiritual life, and through spirituality alone there can be ananda. So we are very, very sure. So we take Veda as our guide. Because we are very sure about this, we take Vedas, the scriptures, as our guide, which is called Shraddha. Shraddha is faith. Until it works for me, I should have faith, Shraddha. So that is what one should always try to understand. Until such time it works for me, I should have faith in the scriptures and keep on following the scriptures. Just like I have faith in my parents. The type of education they give me, the type of upbringing I had, just as a child has implicit faith in the parents, Shankaracharya says, 1,000 times more faith one should have in the Vedas, in the scriptures, one should have. This is the beginning of spirituality, to have Shraddha. Guru Vedanta Vakyadishi Vishwasaha Shraddha. That is how he defined, that is that faith. I should have that faith. And that person is called Shruti Pramana Eka Matihi. That is the name given to that person. Shruti Pramana Eka Matihi. Eka Matihi means conviction. Only thought. That is the only thought he has. Eka Matihi. Yes, Saha. Eka Matihi. So, unwavering conviction. In what? Shruti Pramana. Shruti means Veda. Shruti means Vedas. And Pramana means source of knowledge. So, with regard to my course of my life, this is the first stage I should know that source of knowledge is the scriptures. Shraddhavan Bhava. Shraddhasva Soumya. And Shraddhavan Labhate Jnanam, Krishna himself said. And Shraddha is a unique state of mind which I cannot logically develop. Shraddha is a unique state of mind. I cannot logically develop. It should grow in me. Faith, how can you logically develop it? It should grow in me. And so we need an atmosphere for that growth of Shraddha, faith. And that atmosphere can be given only by parents and teachers. Such an atmosphere. A child born in a materialistic family where the parents do not believe in the scriptures and spirituality, they believe only in money, artha. That child will find it extremely difficult to become a Vaidika. Vaidika means a person who has faith in the Shastras, in the Vedas. That is why we use the word Vaidika Kutumba. That family is believing in scriptures to develop Vaidika Shraddha. Once Shraddha comes, what is the next stage? Swadharma Nishtha. Swadharma Anushtanam. Otherwise known as Karma Yoga. The Swadharma Anushtana is also known as Karma Yoga. It's a religious life. One should lead a religious life which always gives importance to Dharma and Moksha. A religious life gives importance to Dharma and Moksha, which also considers Artha and Kama, money and recreation. They are all there, but they are not primary source. In such a society, religion cannot thrive if it is the primary source. If Artha and Kama are the only, money and recreation are the only sources of Ananda, in such a society, religion cannot thrive. So the life should be what? Swadharma Nishtha or Karma Yoga Anushtanam or religious lifestyle. That's what one should have. So in the introduction of Viveka Chudamani, we talked about Karma Yoga, where we discussed about Pancha Maha Yajnas. I'm not going to repeat all of them now, but we discussed about all of them. Such a lifestyle in which I grow spiritually. And how long that lifestyle I should live? Taya Asya Atma Vishuddhihi Bhavati. Such a life which includes ethics, moral values. We do not separate religion and ethics anytime. Morality and spirituality are subdivisions of a religious life with moksha as the ultimate goal. So, taya asya atma vishuddhihi bhavati. Taya means swadharma nishtaya. By that, through such a religious lifestyle, atma vishuddhihi, there will be purity of mind. Atma here means the mind and not the Sachidananda Atma. Therefore, taya asya antakarana shuddhihi bhavati. Now the question is, how do I know that I got purity? Purity, there is some metric. If there is a metric, there is a meter to say, yes, you have now got purity. That's fine, but I don't have any such thing. Then we can put this thing in a different form. One such is, a person will develop interest in self-knowledge. More the mind gets pure, more will become the interest in self-knowledge. The topic of self-knowledge will become more and more attractive. Who am I? What am I doing here? What do I want to attain? Where do I come from? Where am I going? Is life only eating, producing children and dying, which even animals do? Other things like artha, kama will be there in life. I may even enjoy them. They are not primary anymore for that person who has got Chitta Shuddhi. That is the sign of Vairagyam, Chitta Shuddhi. So, Taya Atma Vishuddhihi Asya. Then what happens? Vishuddha Buddhehe Paramatma Vedanam. Once a person, he gets this Chitta Shuddhi, this Vairagyam and all, Vishuddha Buddhihi. Vishuddha Buddhihi means pure in mind. Or to put it in a technical term, Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannasya. When a person becomes a Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha, what is the next stage? Paramatma Vedanam. Paramatma Vedanam means self-knowledge. Vedanta Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. They will all become the primary pursuit. Arthakama will be there, but they are no more primary pursuit. Thereafter also, even if it is that pursuit of material and kama, dharma, even if they are there, they will all become subservient. They they won't be predominant one all the time. For such a person, Jnana Yoga occupies the mind. That is called Paramatma Vedana. Vedana means self-knowledge, pursuit of self-knowledge or Jnana Yoga. That is the second stage. So the development is what? First one is accepting Veda as the guideline, belief in the scriptures, Shraddha. And the next one is what? Following a religious lifestyle of Karma Yoga. Then following a philosophical lifestyle of Jnana Yoga and getting finally Atma Jnana. This is the spiritual life. And how long will it take for a person to achieve this? It can be a lifelong journey or it could be several janmas. If he got interested in Gita, Bhagavad Gita or Viveka Chudamani today, it is because of an appropriate lifestyle, not only in this life, but if he got interested in Viveka Chudamani, for example, at the age of 60, let us not think that we have been doing, we have been following a very dharmic life up to this age and that is why we got interested. No. It is due to Aneka Koti Janma Samsiddhaha Tato Yanti Parangitim. That's what Krishna said. It is a multi-janma process through several janmas. So Vishuddha Buddhehe Paramatma Vedanam. Self-knowledge takes place. Tenaiva. Tenaiva means antena. Tena means Paramatma Veda, Paramatma Vedanena. By that self-knowledge. And Eva. Eva means only. By that self-knowledge only. So jnanena eva samsara samula nasaha. Through jnanam alone, samsara nasha will take place. Destruction of the samsara vriksha will take place. Samsara means bondage, self-error. If you remember the 138th sloka where it said, atasmin tad buddhihi prabhavati vimudasya tamasa viveka abhavad vai spurati. That's what Acharya said in 138th sloka. He defined bondage there as self-error. That will go away only with knowledge. Self-error will go away only with knowledge, self-knowledge. And that too how? Samula nashaha. The error will go along with its cause, cause mulam. What is the cause of error? We already said cause of error is ignorance. Samsara can go without knowledge also. It is like cutting a tree. You want to cut a tree, you can cut a tree. The tree will go away. That is why when a person goes to meditation without studying the scriptures, just by cutting the tree alone, tree will go, but it will again sprout because the roots are not removed yet. So for example, somebody goes on doing meditation. It's a big yogic practice he has been doing without studying the scriptures. He might even enjoy samadhi. He might go to Nirvikalpa Samadhi, he can go to and can call that Samadhi as Andha Samadhi also. We call it as Andha Samadhi, he means blind Samadhi. He enjoys non-duality along with ignorance. Even though he has been in Samadhi, but because he has not gone to scriptures and learned Vedanta, that person, even if he goes to Samadhi, that Samadhi is called Andha Samadhi, a blind Samadhi only. Ignorance is not gone for him because he never studied scriptures. So once he comes out of Samadhi, the bliss also will go away. So Samadhi may last maybe for, you know, a few minutes, maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour, maybe a few hours, doesn't matter. At the end of Samadhi, person again has to come back to this practical reality. So Samadhi can give samsara nashaha, the bliss also will go away. Once that goes away, this also. So it cannot give samula nasaha. So we are trying to explain what is samula nasaha along with its roots. Sleep can give samsara nasaha. During the type of sleep, I may forget everything. That samsara nasaha it can give, but not samsara samula nasaha. It will not. Pralaya, even if you go to pralaya, pralaya can give samsara nasha, but samsara samula nasha, it cannot give. So that is what, again, the idea is. So the next few verses, shlokas are not in any clear meter like the previous shlokas. They are not easily chantable. So the best way of dealing with that is what? To read it like prose. That's what we will do. Shloka 149. Koshairannamayadhyaihi panchabhiratma na samvruto bhati nija shakti samutpannaihi శైవాల పటలైహి ఇవాంబువాపిస్థం. సో శంకరాచార్య హ్యాస్ రిటన్ మెనీ ప్రేయర్స్ ఆన్ మెనీ డైటీస్ అండ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ దమ్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ గోవిందాష్టకం. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆల్మోస్ట్ వేదాంతిక్ ప్రేయర్. సత్యం జ్ఞానం అనంతం నిత్యం అనాకాశం పరమాకాశం. యాక్చువల్లీ ఎంఎస్ సుబ్బలక్ష్మి హ్యాస్ గివెన్ అ బ్యూటిఫుల్ రికార్డింగ్ ఆన్ దిస్ అండ్ ఇఫ్ పీపుల్ హూ హవ్ హర్డ్ దిస్ ది శ్లోకాస్ ఆర్ ది సేమ్ మీటర్ లైక్ దాట్ శ్లోక. సో ఇఫ్ యూ కెన్ రిసైట్ దాట్ శ్లోక ప్రాపర్లీ ఇన్ ద సేమ్ మీటర్ దిస్ కెన్ బి ఆల్సో రిసైటెడ్. ఐమ్ జస్ట్ ఓన్లీ ఇండికేటింగ్ బికాస్ దే ఆర్ సిమిలర్. ఐ రెడ్ ఇట్ లైక్ ఎ ప్రోస్ ఓన్లీ. అదర్వైజ్ ది ఈజియర్ మెథడ్ ఈస్ టు జస్ట్ రీడ్ ఇట్ యాస్ అ ప్రోస్. With the previous shloka, the sixth question also is answered. If you remember the 49th shloka where seven questions are asked, so the sixth question is asked here, Katam Vimokshaha. And what is the means of liberation? Jnanam. Jnanadeva Vimokshaha. That is the answer. Now Shankaracharya enters into the answer for the seventh question and the final question. That is, Tayor Vivekaha Katam Yedatuchyatam. That is, if you remember that question, fine, from that shloka. Otherwise, we will just state it here. How can one discriminate between Atma and Anatma? That is the question. What is the process of Atma, Anatma, Viveka? And that is the seventh and the final question. And Shankaracharya answers that question from the shloka 149 to shloka 211. The method is based on the following method. There is a particular method for answering this question. The Atma Anatma Viveka, that is done by using a particular method. And that method is what? Atma happens to be extremely subtle entity. Atma is very subtle. By which what does it mean? It is not easily comprehensible. It is very subtle. So, Sukshmatvam Nama Durvigneyatvam. Because it is so subtle, Durvigneyatvam cannot be known. Dukkena Jnatum Shakyatvam. Very, very difficult to comprehend. Very difficult. It is not available for any sense organs. It is not available for reasoning. Yato Vacho Nivartante Aprapya Manasasaha. That is what was said in Taittiriya Upanishad. So, Naisha Tarkena Madhirapaneya. So, we also saw that in Kathopanishad. So, it is Atma cannot be comprehended that easily by our any known instruments. Sensory perception, logic, mathematics, experimentation, or even meditation. None of those things can help me in understanding Atma. So, whatever one experiences is only the experienced object. When I say experience something, that is, what does it mean? I am experiencing an object, a vishaya. So, and we are not talking about the object at all here. It is aprameyam. It is achintyam. And so it is also ati sukshmam. Very, very subtle. It is incomprehensible. That is Atma. And if I have to grasp a subtle Atma, I have to make the grasping intellect also very subtle. For example, a tool is used for a subtle operation also must be a subtle tool. If you are going to use a tool for a very subtle surgery, that tool also should be a very subtle tool. So quality of the tool depends on the quality of operation. Therefore, Atmajnanam requires making the intellect also very subtle. And for that, what do? Initially, we take Anatma itself, and before going to Atma, as a training ground, we are trying to sharpen our intellect using the Anatma and divide the Anatma into gross and subtle parts. Even before going to Atma, let us divide the Anatma into gross part and subtle part. And when the mind learns to dwell upon the subtler part of Anatma, then the mind gets sensitized. It is made subtle. And then the mind can be used for comprehending Atma. So the first stage is what? Grade the Anatma or the objective world. Anatma means what? The objective world in terms of its subtlety. First dwell upon the gross Anatma. Then go to the subtle Anatma. and then go to subtler anatma. Then we will see. So the first stage of Vedantic study is the classification of anatma. What is gross, what is subtle, what is subtler and subtlest. So this classification is done in two different ways. One type of classification is called Sharira Traya Vibhagaha, classification into three bodies. And the second type is Kosha Pancha Vibhagaha, classification into five koshas or five sheaths. We have already done Sharira Traya Vibhaga, we have already seen Stula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram and Karana Shariram, that is Sharira Trayam. We have to first dwell upon the Stula Shariram. I am the body notion, I am the body, take care of it. You know, be a person with a lot of interest in the physical personality, develop it. Don't allow even one gray hair to come. And after some time, grow to an emotional or intellectual personality. For example, if you take a dedicated scientist for that matter, he does not care about how his hair looks like, hairstyle is and all. He doesn't worry about any of those things. He is worrying about only the subtler truth, you know, realities of science. So that person has got a subtler intellect. He is no more bothered about his grosser personality. And thereafterwards, he should have even subtler mind to understand the causal body, Karana Shariram. Mind is subtle body. Karana Shariram is causal body. Subtler than that. This method of traveling from grosser to the subtler levels, that is called Arundhati Darshana Nyayaha. There is a particular term for this in Vedanta called Arundhati Darshana Nyayaha, otherwise called Shaka Chandra Nyayaha. These are two terms. I don't know whether I mentioned this during the course of Viveka Chudamani, you have not mentioned. In some of the discussions I have talked about this. So it is like the, you know, the Arundhati Darshana Nyaya is during the marriage, wedding ceremonies. The boy and girl, they are taken outside and they are asked to see Arundhati. And Arundhati, you know, is a star that cannot be seen that directly. So they first show a bright star by in the vicinity. And after doing that, they say, okay, next to that is this and all. And finally try to arrive that subtle star, which they can identify as Arundhati. So this is a nyaya, a method by which the subtler objects are shown by starting with a grosser object. So go, for example, people want to climb the Everest. People, they're climbers, you know, mountain climbers. They cannot just go to the 29,000 feet directly. They have to get acclimatized to the height at various levels. So they will go to 5,000 feet and they will have a base camp there maybe for a couple of days, then go to 10,000 feet and then have a camp there for 3-4 days, get acclimatized to that weather, that climate, that oxygen levels and all, then go to 15,000 feet. Like that, they keep on going. At each level, they get acclimatized and then proceed further instead of directly jumping into that. So now Shankaracharya, so this is called Arundhati Darshana Nyaya. So now Shankaracharya, he will do the Pancha Kosha Vibhagaha, which is the introduction which he is introducing in this shloka. In this particular shloka, he is now introducing the Pancha Kosha Viveka. So to relate and to understand the Pancha Koshas in terms of the three bodies, the gross body or the Stula Sharira, that is called Annamaya Kosha. So Sharira Trayam, the three bodies, and the five Pancha Koshas, we are trying to relate each of them. Now the gross body or the Stula Shariram, that is called Annamaya Kosha. The Sukshma Shariram is further subdivided into three koshas called the Pranamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha and Vijnanamaya Kosha, based on Icha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti and all. And the Karana Shariram is renamed as Anandamaya Kosha. So this is the Sharira Trayam and the three koshas. Annamaya Kosha is grass body. Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, subtle body. Anandamaya is Karana Shariram. So Sukshma Sharira Kriya Shakti is called Pranamaya. This subtle body's Kriya Shakti is called Pranamaya. The Icha Shakti is called Manomaya. And Jnana Shakti is called Vijnanamaya. They are graded in this level because Jnanam determines the desire and desire determines the action. That is the logic. Jnanam desire determines the desire. When, for example, what determines the desire? Because you cannot desire what you don't know. So you have a desire. Whatever you know, that alone determines your desire. If I don't know something, I cannot desire for this at all. And the desire fuels the action. Therefore, knowledge that influences the desire. Desire influences the action. So knowledge must be subtler. Desire must be less subtle. And action least subtle. So pranamayaha is subtler than manomaya kosha, which is subtler than the vijnanamaya kosha. That is how the Arundhati Darshana Nyaya is developed here. So, three shariram's themselves, they are subdivided into five koshas. Koshas means sheath, as I told you. The food sheath, the prana sheath and all. And this pancha kosha are anatma. Pancha kosha are only anatma. This anatma, atma viveka, differentiating the atma from the pancha koshas. That is what is developed here. This we saw actually in Tattva Bodha itself, while defining atma. All those who attended those lectures, they may remember. Otherwise, you can refer to those lectures. Sthula, Sukshma, Karana, Shariraat, Vyatiriktaha. Atma, they are trying to define Atma. Atma is different from Sthula, Sukshma, Karana, Shariram. Avastatraya Sakshi. It is the Sakshi, witness in all three states of consciousness. Waking state, dream state and deep sleep state. Panchakosha Vilakshanaha. It is different from all the five different koshas. Satchidananda Swarupa Sun. It is of the nature of Satchidananda Swarupaha. Yastishtati sa Atma. That is how Atma was defined in Tattva Bodha. So, Pancha Kosha Vilakshanaha. That was only one word given in Tattva Bodha. As you know, we mentioned earlier also, Viveka Chudamani is only an elaborate commentary on Tattva Bodha. And that one word, Panchakosha Vilakshanaha, that becomes a huge topic in Viveka Chudamani, starting from this shloka, shloka 149 to 211, 63 shlokas nearly, dealing with only one word. A very elaborate discussion. Panchakosha Vilakshanaha, that is the topic. So the Acharya is introducing the topic here in this shloka. He says, Atma Koshaihi Samvrittaha. Atma is covered by the five koshas, koshaihi samvrittaha. So, panchabihi koshaihi, by the five koshas. Because they serve as though an enclosure, a container of the Atma. They are called koshas. Koshavat, achatakatvat koshaha. Koshavat, achatakatvat koshaha. What does a case do? A container can do. For example, we can look at a spectacle, a glass pair of glasses. It can look at the case, the small box in which we keep the glasses. We can look at it in two ways. One, it contains your spectacles, a container, it's a holder. It protects your spectacles. And also, it covers the spectacles from our vision. It's one way of looking at it, it's a container. It's protecting it. Another way is, it covers the spectacle from our vision. And so the case is what? The container, avrunoti, it covers. Because of which one is not able to see the spectacle. And the five koshas, they cover the atma. So he says, panchabihi koshaihi atma samvrutaha. Atma is covered. And what are these koshas? Annamayadyaihi. Annamayadyaihi means annamaya kosha, etc. That is pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, anandamaya kosha, all of them. By these koshas, Atma is covered. Therefore what? Nabhati. Because of this covering, we are not able to recognize the Atma. So if covering is an obstacle for knowledge, what are we supposed to do then? Remove the cover. That's all we are supposed to do. Which is called discovery. Whatever is covered, you discover. So that is why, you know, Tyagaraja Swami, I think there is a song. He says, this ajnana veil, the panchakosha veil is covering my vision. It is covering you, O Lord. Please give me your darshana. And how does God give the darshana? By removing the cover. So it's got திரை தையக திர தையக ராதா, தெர் இஸ் சம் சாங் லைக் தட் ஐம் நாட் ஷியூர். ஸோ திர தையக ராதா ஆர் சம் தெலுகு சாங். ஸோ தட் சாங் இட் சீம்ஸ் சப்போஸ் டு கன்வே திஸ் ஐடியா. ஸோ கோஷைஹி பஞ்சபிஹி ஆத்மா சம்ருத்தக ஆசன் ந பாதி. அண்ட் வாட் இஸ் த பியூட்டி ஹியர், தி கோஷாஸ் ஆர் பார்ன் அவுட் ஆஃப் வாட் ஹீ சேஸ், நிஜ சக்தி சமுத்பன்னைஹி. நிஜ நிஜ மீன்ஸ் ஹியர் ஆத்மா. தி கோஷாஸ் ஆர் பார்ன் அவுட் ஆஃப் ஆத்மா, நிஜ சக்திக்கு சமுத்பன்னைஹி. அண்ட் ஈவன் தோ தே ஆர் பார்ன் அவுட் ஆஃப் ஆத்மா, தே கவர் ஆஸ் இட் வர் த வெரி ஆத்மா இட் செல்ஃப். அண்ட் வாட் இஸ் த சக்தி ஆஃப் ஆத்மா? இட் இஸ் கால்ட் அஜான சக்தி, which has got avarana and vikshepa. We have seen all these things in detail. Avarana shakti and vikshepa shakti. Avarana shakti is covering and vikshepa shakti is projecting. Otherwise called maya or avidya or shakti itself. We have seen all those things earlier. So nija shakti hi means ajnana roopa atma shakti hi, maya roopa atma shakti hi. From that shakti are born the koshas, all the 5 koshas are born. And having born out of atma, actually they should be grateful to atma. Instead, they overshadow the atma. They cover the atma itself, and Shankaracharya gives a beautiful example here for that. Something born out of something covering the very same source itself. So previously he gave the example of clouds. If you remember that example, the clouds. So, Bhanu Prabha Sanjanita Prapanktihim Bhanum Tirodaya Nijrimbateyatam Atmoditahankritir Atmatattvam Tatha Tirodaya Vijrimbateswayam. That's what he said in the previously another shloka. The clouds are born because of the sun. Because sun only they are born. And they cloud the very sun itself. Even though they are born out of the sun, they cloud the very sun itself. Now Shankaracharya gives another example here in this shloka. Again, all examples are given from nature only. He gives an example of a pond. In a pond or a lake, there is this algae growth, the moss, the green stuff that is born. And what is the source or nourisher of that moss? The water only. And this moss, which is born out of water, covers the very water itself. From distance, it appears there is no water. Something even dangerous also. People might walk over that. So he says, Shaivala Patalaha. So a sheet of moss. And Shaivala means moss. And Patalaha means a thin sheet. So, and by this sheet of moss, this sheet of this small, a thin layer of algae, a green thing that is covering this water, the water is now covered by that thin sheet. So, Ambu Iva, Avritam, we have to supply the word Avritam, covered. You have to supply that. Just as the water is covered, yata ambu. Ambu means water. That is why the lotus is called ambujam. The one that is born in water, born out of water, is ambujam. So where is that water? Then vapistam ambu. That water is a stagnant water. It is in a lake or it is not in a flowing water. In a flowing water like a river, you won't have this algae growth like that. It will get washed away. It is only in a stagnant water. That's why he says avapistam ambu, not flowing water. So just like a stagnant water in a well, for example, is covered by a sheet of moss, a sheet of this algae, which is born out of the water itself. Similarly, the atma also is covered by a sheet of anatma or panchakoshas, which are born out of the same atma. That is the example he gives. Shloka 150. Tachaivalapanaye samyak salilam pratiyate shuddham Trishna santapaharam sadhyaha saukhya pradham param pumsaha. Again, as I told you, it's all read like prose. So if you have to discover water, when it is covered by this, what we should do? We have to remove this shaivala patalaha. We have to remove this green stuff from that. So he says, tat chavala panaye, sati. Sati saptami here. So suppose a person, he removes that sheet of moss, algae. So chavala apanaye means it removes it, pushes aside. Then what does he see after pushing this green stuff out? Shuddham shalilam pratiyate. That the beauty is what? Chaivala cannot pollute the water. the green stuff that is on the water, it doesn't pollute the water. It only remains on the top and covers the water. Once it is removed, the water is good and it is natural water, healthy water. And so Shankaracharya adds, Shuddham Salilam Pratiyate. And when he uses the word Salilam, what does he keep in mind? We should remember all that thing. When we study the example, we should not forget the original actually. Many times in when examples are given, people not jokes are given also. People remove the joke and also the example they remember, but not the actual stuff. So that is, if you remember the original also, that is intelligent reading. If you forget the original, then two problems will come. One, we will not extend the example where we should. And also, the second worst mistake is, we may extend the example to what we should not extend to also. So, Salila means Atma here. So, he also uses the word Shuddham. So, in the case of Atma also, it is Shuddha Atma. Water also is Shuddham, Atma is Shuddha Atma. He will give that actually in the next shloka. And not only that, Trishna Santapa Haram. Trishna, the Shuddha Jalam, the pure water, what does it do? It removes Trishna, the thirst. So, Santapaha means pain, discomfort. That is called Santapaha, uneasiness. Born out of what? Trishna. Trishna is thirst. So, those days actually, we don't feel all those things these days at all. We have bottles and bottles of water in the car when we drive. Those days, people walk miles and miles with thirst, looking for water here and there, and they find a pond or well somewhere, and water covered them by the moss. They move the moss away and drink that water with so much of liking. So many people have no such chance to experience all those things at all these days. So that water, so Trishna Santapa Haram. Haram means what? The remover. The water which is the remover of the pain or thirst. Pain of thirst. And this also is a very, very significant adjective which has to be extended to Vedanta also, because the word Trishna has got two meanings. One, thirst for water, and another meaning is thirst for sense objects also. That is also called Trishna. Desires, craving, yearning, inordinate craving, all those things. That thirsty, bankrupt mind, Swamiji calls it a bankrupt mind, which wants to get more and more. A bankrupt person somehow wants to get out. And because of which, there is santapaha. The word tapa, tapa also has got two meanings. One is dukkham in the mind. That is also tapaha. And burning also is called tapaha. Krishna compares desire to fire in the third chapter. Dushpurena analena cha. That's what he says. So it's burning. So desire is compared to fire, which burns the mind, causing pain. Now the Atma discovery will do what? Krishna santapa haram. All the cravings will go away. They are all gone. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. Atmaneva atmana triptaha tushtaha sita pragyasta dochyate. That's what Krishna said. So, Shuddham Trishna Santapa Haram Salilam is a very thoughtfully used expression. Acharya used it very, very cautiously and very thoughtfully. And another beautiful poetry and skill also in handling these words. And after drinking water, how much time it takes for one to get tripti after drinking the water. As even one drinks, one gets the ananda. There is no time gap between the drinking the water and enjoying the fulfillment. Similarly, between jnana prapti and paripurna tripti, there is no time gap at all. The moment you come to Vedanta itself, you gain tripti, he says. Therefore, he uses the word sadhyaha. Immediately, instantaneously, jnanam and moksha are simultaneous. And once that trishna, that thirst is gone, what is the inner condition? Saukya pradham. These are all adjectives actually to water. So water is pure, is the remover of thirst immediately, instantaneously, and water is the giver of saukhyam. We can say that from the innermost heart, anytime when we are really thirsty, we know. A drop of water, what it does to us. And what type of saukhyam? At least the saukhyam coming from drinking water is relative saukhyam. But that coming from jnanam, knowledge, is the highest. Therefore, he adds the adjective param saukhya pradam. It gives the great tripti, పరిపూర్ణ తృప్తి ఇట్ గివ్స్. దట్ ఈస్ వై దే సేమ్ అన్నదానం అండ్ జలదానం ఆర్ సుపీరియర్. బికాస్ ఇఫ్ యు గివ్ మనీ, ఎనీ అమౌంట్ ఆఫ్ మనీ యు గివ్ దట్ పర్సన్ ఆర్ యు నో హీ ఆల్వేస్ హీ ఎక్స్పెక్ట్ సమ్ మోర్. హీ ఇస్ నాట్ దట్ హీ మే బి కంటెంట్ బట్ నాట్ దట్ కంటెంట్ ఇన్ దట్ సెన్స్. హీ ఫీల్స్ ఇట్ కెన్ బి హీ కుడ్ హావ్ గివెన్ మోర్ ఇఫ్ యు గివ్ మనీ ఎనీ అమౌంట్. బట్ ఇఫ్ యు ఆస్క్ ఇస్ ఇట్ ఓకే, దట్ పర్సన్ విల్ సే ఓ ఇట్స్ ఓకే. ద వే హీ సౌండ్స్ ద ఓకే, వి నో హౌ ఓకే దట్ ఓకే ఇస్. But in annadanam, even the greatest glutton, at least after maybe eating 50 laddus or whatever it is, he will say enough and cover his plate with whatever he can, with his hand, head, body, everything, so that he will not even put by mistake another laddu onto his plate. So this is one thing where paripurna tripti we can give. That's why annadanam is always emphasized in our scriptures. That's why they say, na annodaka samam dhanam, na dvadashya param vratam, na gayatriya paro mantraha, na matuhu daivatam param. There is no such thing equal to the dhanam of food and water, anna udaka dhanam, dvadashya param vratam, na vratam on dvadashi, and na gayatriya paro mantraha. నో మంత్ర సుపీరియర్ టు గాయత్రి, నా మాతుహు దైవతం పరం, నో దైవం సుపీరియర్ టు వన్స్ ఓన్ మదర్. సో దర్ ఇస్ నో ఈక్వల్, నథింగ్ ఈక్వల్ టు అన్నదానం అండ్ ఉదకదానం ఇస్ వాటర్. వై? ఇన్ అన్నం అండ్ ఉదకం, ఇన్ ఫుడ్ అండ్ వాటర్ వీ కెన్ గెట్ వాట్? వీ కెన్ గెట్ పరిపూర్ణ తృప్తి, ఫుల్ కంటెంట్మెంట్, ఫుల్ఫిల్మెంట్ వీ కెన్ గెట్. సో హీ సేస్ పరం సౌఖ్యప్రదం, టోటల్ తృప్తి. ఫర్ హూమ్? Pumsaha. For this thirsty man, this weary traveler, in part, he is a traveler in samsara for that person. So this is the example here. Now Shankaracharya has to extend this to Vedanta. He has given the example here. It has to be extended to Vedanta. So we are all thirsty and weary travelers. How is life? You know, many times, chalta hai, you know, that is what many people say. Life is, you know, chalta hai. That is the type of life many people lead. So what is the solution? He has to extend it to Vedanta. That we will see in the next webinar. Yo Veda Dau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Linasya Parasa Maheshwara Sri Krishna Arpanamastu Narayana. Okay.